Good evening. Good to be here with you again. And I don't feel like a visiting preacher, so I definitely feel at home. But we are missing all the Ellis's family, and we hope that they get back safely. Like I said, this is kind of a busy time for us as well. We'll be going to camp with the kids here in a couple of weeks. So keep praying that we have a good week that week, and looking forward to that. There's just lots of good things that can come out of being at camp, and we just hope that that we can mold these children into what we need them to be, and that is leaders. And within the church today, we need good leadership in the church, and that is where they can learn a lot from camps. And we just thank you so much for allowing or helping the community and doing what you all do. And we have a good program here with the kids. Thank you so much. This evening's lesson is about faith and works. Faith and works. We're going to see that what faith is, and we're also going to see what works are. And we'll see that we need, at the end, we'll see that we need an acting faith. We need to be doing something with that faith. I open up with the question is, what is faith? Well, I can't help but go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now that's the biblical definition, and that's pretty much all we need. But if you want a dictionary definition, it's a believe or a trust in the Bible. That is also what faith is. Can our faith waver? I believe it can. And why does it waver? Why does our faith waver? There's just so many things that happen in life. You know, some may think that God isn't answering their prayers the way we think that God ought to answer our prayers. But we do know that God does answer prayer. And he answers them in three different ways. Yes, no, and not right now. We know that that's how God answers prayers, and we know that He answers our prayers. But sometimes He may not answer them the way we think He ought to answer them, and it causes us to lose faith at times. But sometimes we all have lost loved ones. Sometimes that causes us to, I would say, blame God, especially if it's a young person. If it's a young person, someone that's dear, near to our heart, we tend to blame God at times for, why did you take this person from me? Why did you take this young one? It makes us blame God and lose, kind of waver our faith. But those are some things. But we know that life is hard. Life is hard at times, but we must trust that God is with us. We must trust that God is with us. He's with us at all times. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the latter part of that verse is, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we must know, knowing that, and we know that He was instructing the disciples there. But it also, I think it pertains to us. As long as we are being faithful to Him, He is with us. He is with us. If you would, turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And this is kind of a lengthy reading, but this is, it fits the topic tonight. James chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 14 through 25. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 25. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But you are willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You know, I think there in back where it says in verse 19, you know, even the demons believed and shuddered. Belief is just not enough. Belief, all you have to, you know, there's so many belief is, you know, it's just not enough. Do we need to do something with our faith? Yes, we do. We need to do something with our faith. It's easy to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but if we aren't doing something, if we aren't doing anything with that belief, then our faith is dead. Our faith is dead. Faith only will not get us to heaven. Faith only, faith alone will not get us to heaven. Some denominations say that all you have to do is believe, and that will get you to heaven. And we know we have to take the whole Bible into account. We have to take the whole Bible into account. You know, also when we pray, you know, if you would, we're already in James. Turn over to James chapter 1, and let's look at verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. This is talking about prayers. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So in our prayers, we must ask in faith that whatever God's will, may it be done. But so many times we want our will to be done. That's what we're asking. We're asking our will to be done, but it should be God's will that it be done. But we can't be unstable in our thoughts. We cannot be unstable in our thoughts. You know, I've always heard that you cannot straddle a fence, and that's very true. You know, you're either on one side or the other. You cannot straddle the fence. God, also the God of this world, you know, I'm talking about a blind faith too. We can have a blind faith. The God of this world blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And who is the God of this world? Satan. Satan is the God of this world. You know, and we can have that blind faith. You know, darkness can blind our eyes. And if you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible reads, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness blinded his eyes. We must stay in the light. We must stay in the light. Because and if you would go to First John there, where First John chapter 1 there, and verse 5. And we'll go through verse 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is of the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We know that we can have that spiritual blindness. We talk about blindness because we can have a blind faith. And we can have a blind faith. Sometimes we put, and I hate to say this, but sometimes we put too much trust in our preachers and on what they say But, you know, we preachers on this side of the fence, all we do is we give scriptures. And we ask you to turn to scriptures and so you can see that for yourselves. And like I said, that is the example that we want, you know, and this, because so many times I've heard people say, well, this is what my preacher told me. This is what my preacher told me. And instead, when we ought to say, this is what the Bible tells us. This is what the Bible says. You know, the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily. You know, do we have that same frame of mind? They search the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. And do we need that same frame of mind? We need to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. James chapter 1 verse 23. Now let's talk about works. What are works? Well, it's an act, a deed, it's labor. Can we earn our salvation? Can we earn our salvation? And the answer to that is no. Can works alone get us to heaven? And no. There are many people that believe that you can earn your way to heaven, that you can do enough to get to heaven. And that is not true. We have many good people in this world today that think, you know, and they do good, they do all these good things, but their faith is not where it's supposed to be. But they're good people. We have many good people in this world today, but also their faith isn't where it's supposed to be. We need to have a working faith so others can see Christ in us. We need to have a working faith so others can see Christ in us. We need to be set apart from this world. 1 John, we're in 1 John. Look over at chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17, the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. The one who does the will of God lives forever. If we do the will of God, we have something better to look forward to. But we must be set apart from the world. We must be set apart. So do not be surprised if the world hates you. Do not be surprised if the world hates you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, Bible reads, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. And that is, if we are standing firm in our faith, you know, sometimes we have to go out on that ledge because people, they may not understand what the truth is. We've been given the truth. We know the truth, and the truth sets us free. But we know, if we know the truth, then that's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing God's will, and people see this. Others see this, that we're set apart from the rest of the world, and they may someday want that type of life. But that is the price that we pay for standing firm in the faith, that some may hate us. But also, we can pray that those hearts may be, we can pray that their hearts be softened, that they may soften their hearts someday and be able to be willing to listen to God's word. But we cannot allow the world to tell us how to live. We cannot allow the world to tell us how to live. The Bible is the only manual that we need, no matter how hated we may become, because we know the truth. We know the truth. If you would, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, our faith needs to be an acting faith. The grace of God through faith is what saves us. The grace of God through faith is what saves us. You know, we can't save ourselves. We needed a sacrificial lamb. We needed a sacrificial lamb. You know, grace is for everyone. Grace is for everyone. There are things that we need to do. You know, I think of an example that I can think of is if you plan a trip, say, to Colorado or Florida, you see pictures on a postcard or something, or maybe you've gone this place before. If you see the pictures that you've taken before and you look at the pictures, boy, I wish I could go there. Well, maybe it takes a little planning, but, you know, you can look at those pictures all the time and not go. But if you actually go, you do something. You're doing something with that. Instead of saying, I want to go there, well, you take care of that want. You go. So we need to have that type of faith, that acting. We need to act upon this. If you would, turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's look at verse 20 first. Romans chapter 3 and actually 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law becomes the knowledge of sin. And now let's go on down to verse 27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. And then verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So we see, you know, this faith that they're talking about is the action type of faith. That is, if we're not doing anything with our faith, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and then not do anything about it. Well, we have a dead faith. We have a dead faith. You know, but this faith, it's an action type of faith. We need a faith that can move mountains. That's the type of faith that we need today. We need a faith that can move mountains. Others see our faith by the way we live. By the way we live. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith does many things. You know, we need a faith that cannot be moved or shaken. That's the type of faith that we need today. I ask a question, you know, where is your faith today? You know, is your faith, is it wavering? Are you standing firm in the faith? You know, don't allow Satan to rule your faith. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. And we need to show our faith by our works. Works alone will not get us to heaven. Faith alone will not get us to heaven. We are to do good to all. And if we see a need or someone in need, we take action. If we see something that needs to be done within the church today, we take action instead of sitting back and allowing things to, like I said, we just seek the opportunity to do good to all. But we need to seek the opportunity when we have the opportunity. The lesson is yours this evening. If you haven't become a child of God, if you haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you have and you're struggling, your faith might be wavering tonight. Whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.